Good evening, everyone. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Charles Spurgeon said, "Beware of no man more than yourself. We carry our worst enemies within us." Those words are true. The Christian does battle on various fronts. The world, with its pervasive influence, is constantly pulling us to take our eyes off of Christ and on to other things. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, leading Christian men into snares and then not letting them free. Those are serious enemies. But the great enemy of every Christian is his own self. Paul wrote in Romans 7, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" Is there any hope for us, brothers and sisters, in this life? Is there any deliverance from these sinful desires that we have, from these patterns of sin that are so ingrained in our nature that we fight against? Can we overcome these sinful desires that are within us? And if so, how do we do that? We have good news tonight. There is deliverance. There is victory available for you whenever you will choose it. Stand with me. We're going to read our passage. We're only going through verse 18 today, but we're going to read the whole section, the whole paragraph. Galatians chapter 5, we'll start in verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." So the word of the Lord, you may be seated. The book of Galatians was written to a group of at least four churches in the Roman province of Galatia. Paul had just founded these churches only months before. And then after leaving the church, quickly some false teachers came in and began to confuse these new Christians. They were saying, teaching things that were not true. The first thing that the false teacher said was that Paul doesn't really speak with authority. Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't listen to Paul. He doesn't have apostolic authority. "We are from Jerusalem," they said. And so Paul answered that. Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2 are Paul's answer to that, saying that he is an apostle of Christ and his words he received directly from God. Second thing the Judaizers said was that you cannot be saved by faith alone. They said if you want to be saved, you have to have faith plus some works. Place faith, they said, plus circumcision. Faith plus keeping the law. And if you believe in Jesus and do these good things that are in the law, then you can really be part of God's people. And Paul answered that by saying that salvation comes by grace alone. It's a gift. We receive it by faith alone and not by works. It's in Christ alone. Only through the cross of Christ that we have eternal life. The third thing that the Judaizers said, well, that was chapters 3 and 4, salvation by faith alone. The third thing that the Judaizers said, they were teaching in Galatia, is that, okay, so now after we are Christians and we're saved, the way to live the Christian life, they said, is to keep the law of Moses. See, because they taught rightly that God is holy and He wants us as His people to be holy. And we have temptations that come against us all the time. And so the only way, the Judaizers said, look, Paul didn't teach you to follow the law. And if you just try to live by faith in Christ, they said, you're going to spin off into sin. What you need is structure. You need rules to follow. And the rules, they said, are the Old Testament law. And so bring yourself under the Old Testament law, and then you'll be able to have victory over sin. That's what Paul is answering in verses 5 and 6. This is not right. Just as a person is not saved by keeping the law, so also a Christian does not experience victory in his Christian life by keeping law, but rather by the Holy Spirit who lives within him. Victory in the Christian life doesn't come by having a bunch of rules and following them, but by the Holy Spirit whom God has given to us to live within us. So we'll see in verses 16 to 18 today, four directions on how to resist the evil within. The first one is walk by the Spirit. We'll spend most of our time this evening on this. Walk by the Spirit. Look at verse 16. Command is right there. This is the point of the whole passage. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. The key to living the Christian life is the Holy Spirit who lives within you. We'll see six truths here about your relationship with the Holy Spirit as a believer. The first one is this: it's by the Spirit that you began your Christian life. It's by the Spirit that you began your Christian life. Go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Galatians 3, 3. Paul wrote, "Are you so foolish, Galatians? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" What's that mean, that we began by the Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who convicted you of your sin and drew you to Christ even before you were saved. And then it's the Holy Spirit who, once you believed, came to dwell within you and now lives inside of you. We began our Christian lives by the Spirit, and now we have the Spirit within. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says to all believers, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" So, by the Spirit, you began your Christian life. Secondly, the Holy Spirit gave you a new nature when you believed. The Holy Spirit gave you a new nature when you believed. This is true for all of us who have trusted in Christ. Go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. Galatians 3, just to get to the beginning of the sentence, we'll start in verse 13. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree," in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Blessing Abraham here, it's justification. God declares us right. We are declared right in Christ. And then the rest of the verse, verse 14, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit. Here Paul refers back to an Old Testament promise of what the Messiah would do when he came. Let's turn back there. Hold your finger here in Galatians and go back to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. This is not just here in Ezekiel, but several places in the prophets. Jeremiah speaks of it. These were promises given to the Jews when their Messiah would come, and yet as believers, these promises have been applied to us already. We're connected to Christ, and so we receive these things. Ezekiel 36, here's what was promised in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 36, look at verse 26. "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." This is just what Christ did for you, believer, when you believed. In the Old Testament, Paul talked about this earlier in Galatians. In the Old Testament, what restrained them from sinning was an external thing. They had the law. as kind of a harsh nanny to remind them of what was right and what was wrong. And then when they goofed up, it was to whack them and to keep them in line from outside. The way the Old Testament worked. But now we have something much better. Instead of having an external law that restrains us from doing what's wrong, we have God's Spirit within, prompting us to love what God loves and to hate what God hates, so that it's an inner restriction from sin. So the Holy Spirit gave us a new nature when we believed. Go back to Galatians. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit produces godly character in you. We read through Galatians there, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. How is it that love, joy, and peace and such things are produced in our lives as Christians? Do we grit our teeth and by sheer willpower make ourselves be loving and joyful and peaceful? Right? No, that's not how it is, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, He produces this fruit. He produces this character in us so that it pops out of us naturally like the cherries on my cherry tree in the backyard. It's producing these cherries. It just does that because it's a cherry tree. And this is what it is for us as believers, that love and joy and peace, these things, the Spirit produces them in us from within. It's His work. So the Spirit produces godly character in you. He does this for believers. Also, letter D, the Spirit restrains you from carrying out your evil desires. The Spirit restrains you from carrying out your evil desires. Go back to Galatians 5, verse 16, if you're not there. Galatians 5, 16. Becoming a Christian does not take away your desire for evil things. Becoming a Christian doesn't take away your desires for evil things. Look in verse 16. Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Notice, we Christians still have the flesh, and we still have the desires of the flesh. The flesh, it describes who we are as fallen, sinful people. The flesh is the source of sin and sinful activity within us. It's that part of our nature that longs to do evil, that does not want to receive God's help. It's the flesh, and we all have this flesh. When the Spirit made us new, He didn't remove the flesh yet. One day He will. But for now, we still have this flesh. And so as a Christian, we are still filled with all sorts of evil desires. You will want, at times, to pursue the deeds of the flesh that are listed there in verses 19 to 21. As a Christian, you'll want these things. You'll want to engage in immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, disputes, envying, carousing, things like these. These desires for wrong things are still in our hearts because we still have the flesh. However, notice at the end of verse 21, Galatians chapter 5, verse 21, He's listed these deeds of the flesh. And then He throws in this warning, lest we're confused. He says, I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice, this is as a pattern of their lives, those who are characterized by these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so He says, hey, if someone does have the Holy Spirit and they are on their way to heaven, this is not what their lives will be characterized with. So we still have these evil desires. We're still pulled to do these fleshly deeds, and sometimes we do. But He says, for a Christian, our lives are not going to be characterized by these evil things. Why is it? Why is it that as a Christian, if I do have all of these pulls towards evil in my life still, why do I not give myself over to them? It's because I have God's Holy Spirit living within me, and He is powerfully restraining the evil desires within me. The Judaizers knew about the power of temptation. They said, oh, these Galatian Christians, if they don't have the law, they're going to be carried away in the ungodly living. And Paul's point here is, no. You Galatians have something that will hold you back from plunging into sin. And it's not a whole bunch of rules. It's the Holy Spirit within you. So the Spirit restrains you from carrying out your evil desires. Letter E on your sheet. The Holy Spirit is constantly leading you. The Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is constantly leading you. Look back at the command in verse 16. Walk by the Spirit. That word walk is a word that's often used in Scripture to describe a person's lifestyle. It's just the way that you live is the way that you walk. This verb, walk, is in the present tense, which in the Greek it speaks of a continuous, ongoing action. So you could translate it, be walking, moment by moment, be walking by the Spirit. Well, what's that mean, though, to be walking by the Spirit? It means that the Spirit directs us moment by moment as to how we are to live, and that the Spirit empowers us moment by moment. So it is at the Spirit's direction and by His empowerment that we are to be living as we go through our days. Look down at verse 18. There's a different phrase that's used. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by the Spirit. Verses 18, however, says, if you are led by the Spirit. I believe here Paul is describing all true Christians, that believers are led by the Spirit. Again, this is in the present tense. It's describing ongoing action. But in verse 18, the verb is in the passive tense. So it's not primarily us that's doing something. It's God that's acting upon us. And what it says is, moment by moment, the Holy Spirit, if you are a Christian, is leading you. He's giving you direction. He's giving you empowerment. John Piper illustrated this well in one of his sermons. He said this, in using the passive voice, if you are led, Paul emphasizes the Spirit's work, not ours. The Spirit is not a leader like the pace car in the Daytona 500. He is a leader like a locomotive on a train. We do not follow in our strength. We are led by His power. So walk by the Spirit means stay hooked up to the divine source of power and go wherever He leads. That's good. Christian, the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit lives within you and He is constantly leading you. You have the ability to hook up to Him and experience His power in your life as He pulls you, as His power leads you. Now, what we have to ask here is, how does He do this? Right? Because we've said, for all Christians, the Holy Spirit leads us. That moment by moment, He's directing us, He's empowering us. How is it that He gives us His leading? Well, let's think about it a little bit farther. I've got there on your sheet how. Number one, He does not do it by speaking to you in a voice you can hear. Not by speaking to you in a voice you can hear. Now, this verse, just think about what he said there. If you are led by the Spirit, and he's talking about all Christians, I think he's saying that all of us believers are constantly led by the Holy Spirit. So if the Spirit were to lead us, if his normal means of leading us is speaking to us in a voice, then what this verse would be saying is that the Holy Spirit is constantly talking verbally to all of you. Now, that's not my experience as a Christian. It's not been the experience of any Christian I have ever known or read about. The Holy Spirit is constantly telling them verbally what they ought to do. That's not what it means here when it says that the Spirit leads us. How is it then that I can know His direction? How does He lead me? To answer that, I want to take you to two important passages. Okay, so hold your finger here in Galatians. Turn to the next book of chapter of Ephesians. We're going to Ephesians 5:18. In Galatians, we're commanded to walk by the Spirit. Here, Ephesians 5:18 gives us another instruction as to how we are to relate to this Spirit that lives within us. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, I believe, is the same thing as to walk with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. Here, he's contrasting being filled with the Spirit with being drunk with wine. There's two possible forces in this verse that can control you. You can be controlled with wine, right? If you're drunk, it'll control your activities. Or you can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We are to yield. It's a good word for it. We're to yield to the leading of the Spirit, so that we allow Him to control us. Now, if the Spirit does control us, this is important in Ephesians, if the Spirit's controlling us, he describes what happens in our lives. If the Spirit's really leading us, controlling us, and we're walking by Him, this is what you'll see in our lives. Verse 19 and following. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God, even the Father, and being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So if we're yielding to the Spirit, we'll see it in our lives by worshipful singing, by giving of thanks to God in all things, by submitting to those in authority over us. But still, in Ephesians, we're asking us, okay, so how is it that God leads us? We get here, we are supposed to yield to the Spirit as He continually leads us, but how do we know what He's telling us to do? Turn over to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, there's a passage that's very similar to the one that we just read in Ephesians, but it gives us some light on it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord." Did you catch the parallel in this? You find this often when you read Ephesians and Colossians. You lay them alongside of each other, and they're saying the same things. Here in Ephesians and Colossians, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you, and three things will happen in your life. There will be worshipful singing, there will be giving of thanks, and they'll be submitting to those that are in authority over you. Same thing that he said in Ephesians, except in Ephesians, instead of saying, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, he says, be filled with the Spirit. And I think that gives us some help in understanding, how is it that the Holy Spirit fills me and directs me? Well, how the Spirit directs me is that I'm filled with the Word of God. And by the Word of God that is within me, He directs me. He uses His Word in my heart to direct me so that I will know what He wants me to think, what He wants me to do, what sort of action He wants me to take. It's the Spirit uses His Word in a living way in my heart. I think I've got that on your sheets. Now, how does the Spirit constantly lead us? Well, He uses the Word of God in our hearts. He uses the Word of God. I try to expand on this a little bit more, this third point there. The Holy Spirit works in your heart like a conscience. He uses God's Word to direct you toward godliness and away from wickedness. This kind of leading toward godliness and away from wickedness, this is not often, or often this isn't the kind of leading we want from the Holy Spirit. The kind of leading that we often seek from the Holy Spirit is specific direction for life's big decisions, right? We want the Spirit's leading in what career should I go into? Should I take this job in Texas? What woman should I marry? What house should I make an offer on? We want the Spirit to give us specific direction on specific life decisions. And the Holy Spirit does not always give us definitive leading on those questions, because the Bible doesn't always give us definitive leading on those kinds of questions. The Holy Spirit may not lead you to take one job over another. Honestly, which job you take isn't probably the Spirit's priority for you. Where you should expect His leading is once you take that job and the boss gives you an assignment that you don't want to do, right? Then expect the Spirit to lead you. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you so that you can speak well of this boss even though his requirements are not reasonable, so that you can put your whole heart into this silly assignment that He's given to you, right? It's in these things that the Spirit is going to lead you, because these are the things that are revealed in Scripture. It's the fruit of character and right choices between good and evil that the Spirit is going to direct us in, more than should I go this way or that way, but He's going to use His Word in my life. As I walk through my life, I'm going to know the right thing to do by His Word powerfully applied to my heart. Okay. Letter F. Letter E was, the Holy Spirit is constantly leading you. I believe this is true for every Christian. The Holy Spirit is leading you all of the time. Letter F. You must choose to follow the Spirit. You must choose. He's leading you, but you must choose to follow Him. Go back to Galatians 5 again. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Again, the command is, but I say, walk by the Spirit. You must choose to follow Him. He's leading you, but are you following where He's leading? Go down to verse 25. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Here, There's a different word used for how we are to follow the Spirit. In the New American Standard, it's translated the same, but in the original language, it's different. Verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, if He's given us life and He's within us, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. In verse 25, the word that's translated walk means to keep in step with, to align yourself with someone. They would use it in the military. If you're supposed to march in line with everyone else, they would say walk according to the pattern of that. And this command is, okay, believers, the Spirit is leading you. You have life through the Spirit. Now get in line. Walk according to the Spirit's leading as you go through your days. John Piper said that walking by the Spirit is not like following a pace car. It's like hooking up to a train engine. That's good. But you must decide, Christian, you must decide every day and every moment whether you will hook up to the source of power in your life or whether you will uncouple and go off on your own drifting path. We have to choose. The Spirit is going to lead you as to what the right thing is to do and which way to go, but you have to choose, Lord, I'm going to follow you. How do we practically do that in our life? This is the key to victory over the sin in your life, is walking by the Spirit. How do I do that? How do I walk by Him and stay connected to Him day by day? I got five quick suggestions. Number one, saturate your life in the Word of God, because it is by His Word that the Spirit is leading you. Why is it that the Word of God is living and active and that it pierces to the depth of our soul? Why is it that the Spirit, that the Word of God is so powerful to us? It's because the Holy Spirit is making it alive to us. He takes His Word and he applies it to you in a living and powerful way. If you want the Spirit's leading to be clear, saturate yourself in the Word of God. Every day, go off by yourself, open up His Word and say, Lord, will You direct me by this? I want to follow You. I want to follow what You say in Your Word. Regularly listen to accurate Bible teaching. Saturate your life in the Word of God. Okay, what else can I do to help me keep in step with the Spirit, to walk by Him? Saturate your life in the Word of God. Pray continually. Pray continually. The Lord means for you, as you go through your life, just to be talking to Him all the time. As you walk through your day, be talking to Him. And as you are communicating with Him, you're going to be more aware of what He's communicating to you, what He wants you to do, the direction that He's giving to you. We're meant to always be praying. Thirdly, saturate your life with the Word of God. Pray continually. Be vitally connected to other Christians. Often, the Holy Spirit will give you leading by the example of other Christians that are around you. Be vitally connected to other Christians. Fourthly, and maybe this is the key, obey Him. Obey Him. Right? The Spirit is going to guide you by reminding you of His Word. Walking by the Spirit is another name for a life of constant, unquestioned obedience to the character and the commands of Scripture, the character of God and the commands of Scripture. James 4:17, you know that verse? It says, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Why is it sin? Why would it be sin for me to know the right thing to do and not do it? Because if I know the right thing to do and don't do it, I am disobeying the Spirit who's dwelling within me. It's the Spirit within me that has given me this confidence. This is the right thing to do. I'm supposed to go and share the gospel with my neighbor. And if I don't do it, even though I know it's the right thing, it's sin because I'm not walking by the Spirit. He's going to give me direction as to what is the right thing to do. So how do I practically keep in step with the Spirit, saturate your life with the Word of God, pray continually, be vitally connected to other Christians, obey Him? And fifthly, when you sin, confess it and forsake it right away. When you sin, confess that sin and forsake it right away. What the enemy is going to want to do to you when you sin is to have you just stay unconnected from the Spirit, to have you stay not listening to Him, to have you sit there and say, oh, I blew it today. There's no hope for me to get back on track until tomorrow or something, right? What we can do, though, by Jesus Christ, who has died for us and who has declared us righteous and is offering us and has given us forgiveness, we can immediately, when I blow it, when I sin, I can go to the Lord and I say, Lord, You said, confess your sins, and You're faithful and just, and You'll forgive me my sins, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm coming to confess this sin. I did this. This is, I did not do the right thing. I didn't stay coupled to you. I didn't follow your spirit. But I want to start again right now. Will you forgive me? I want to follow you from here. The Lord will receive you. You'll be able to get right back on to the track of walking with the Spirit. Four directions on how to resist the evil within. I promise you that the last three will not take as long as the first one. All right. Number one was walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Number two, believe God's promise of victory. Believe God's promise of victory. Back in Galatians 5:16, with the command, walk by the Spirit, comes a promise. Verse 16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not give in to those evil desires that are in your heart. The promise is phrased in the original as a double negative. You might translate it, walk by the Spirit, and the desires of the flesh you will certainly not fulfill. The Holy Spirit will always, believer, the Holy Spirit will always enable you to say no to those temptations to evil. Those desires that are in your heart, you want to do that, the Holy Spirit will always give you the ability to say no. You have to believe this. You have to believe this because Satan is going to come along and he's going to whisper to you and he's going to say, you can't resist this temptation. You know you can't. You never do. You don't have the ability to say no. You'll give in this time like you always do. You've already blown it. Don't even bother resisting it. Just as well give in. That's what the tempter is going to say to you. But God says, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. It is a promise. Strongly stated, the Spirit within you is powerful enough to overcome those temptations and to enable you to choose the right thing. He leads you and He empowers you. Believe God's promise of victory. It's essential. Third direction for how to resist the evil within is this. Expect strong resistance. Expect strong resistance from within. Verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. God promises to you victory over sin, but He does not promise that it will be easy. In fact, in this verse, He assures you that it will be hard. There is a conflict in the soul of every believer between the Holy Spirit and these ungodly, fleshly desires that we have. Listen, don't ever doubt your relationship with God because you're full of temptation, because you have ungodly desires. A Christian is not a person who experiences no evil desires. A Christian is a person who is at war with those desires by the power of the Spirit. Every believer experiences this inner conflict until the day he dies, and then we'll be delivered from it. Oh, what a day that will be. So there's conflict. We ought to expect strong resistance from within. But the point of verses 16 and 17 is a positive one. It acknowledges the conflict, yes, but it assures the believer that the Holy Spirit is sufficient for victory. You see, he's answering the Judaizers. They're saying, look, if you don't have the law to restrain you from outside, you don't have power to resist. And you'll just, you know what you'll do? You'll just go and you'll do whatever you want. And Paul says, no, you have the indwelling Spirit. And the Spirit is going to fight against the flesh as the flesh fights against it so that you don't do the things that you please. He's going to enable you to victory, the Spirit within you, against those evil desires. Four directions on how to resist the evil within. Number one, walk by the Spirit. Two, believe God's promise of victory. Three, expect strong resistance from within. Fourthly, do not follow rules, but follow the Spirit. Do not follow rules, but follow the Spirit. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, this is all Christians he's talking about here. If you have the Spirit, he's leading you. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is an important verse on the strategy for fighting sin. Is the way to conquering my sinful desires the establishment and keeping of rules? I've done that in my life. Try to fight against sin by just making more rules for myself. The Judaizers said, yes, that's the way. That's the way to defeat sin. Make rules and follow them. In fact, use the Old Testament rules. Paul says, no. You are led by the Spirit. You are not under law. What's it look like to fight against sin by the law instead of by the Spirit? What are we talking about here? Josh Harris, in his great little book, Not Even a Hint, it's on sexual purity, he gives an example of this, of how we can fight against sin by the law, and that's not effective, just from his own life. I'll read it to you. He says this, 7 of us were gathered in the dimly lit living room. A single sheet of notebook paper passed slowly between each person. Finally, it came to me. I scanned the numbered list that solemnly and then solemnly signed my name at the bottom of the page. The contract, as we had come to call it, was a strict code of conduct, a list of promises that each of us was vowing to follow for the coming year. We would read our Bibles every day, go to church every Sunday, memorize a passage of Scripture every week, fast every Tuesday, share our faith with one person each week. We wouldn't watch any movies. We wouldn't kiss a girl. We wouldn't drink alcohol. We wouldn't satisfy our own sexual desires. There were 15 promises on the list. We called ourselves the Stallions. He continues, I can't remember exactly when the idea for the contract came up. I guess we wanted rules. We wanted to know we were pleasing God. The whole process of becoming holy seemed complicated to us, so the idea of reducing our faith to a manageable set of promises and prohibitions was appealing. The whole thing was very dramatic, he says. All that was missing was a rising orchestral theme playing in the background. We got down on our knees, huddled in a circle, and extended our right hands onto the sheet of paper. We closed our eyes and bowed our heads, and then pledged before God to obey every rule on the list. It was official. The contract was ratified. I felt sure that the angels in heaven must be leaning down in amazement, watching our impressive display of godliness and the sheer strength of will in the room. A few days later, we all left for home. I was still basking in the euphoria of our religious zeal. Every generation needs men of courage, men of conviction, men of strength, men of God. I was one of those men. The illusion lasted about 2 weeks. That's when I broke rule number 10 on the contract. The year that followed was a very humbling lesson in how utterly incapable I was of being righteous in my own strength. And I wrote number 10 again in my journal more times that year than I want to think about. All my great ambitions, all my vows, all my self-efforts were revealed to be worthless. I can relate to that. Can you relate to that? Listen, the power to resist the evil within doesn't come from making rules and committing yourself to keeping them. The power to resist the evil within comes from the Holy Spirit who lives within you and uses His Word to empower and to direct you moment by moment in your life. If you want to fight against sin, if you want to resist sin, the way forward is to draw near to God, to develop your relationship with Him, to trust in Him, to submit to Him. And it is in that relationship that there is power for victory over these sins that you fight against. It won't be easy, but the promise is true. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Pray with me. Oh, Lord, we, as your children, we long for that day, which is coming, when you will return and we will receive our glorified bodies instead of these ones that still have the flesh. And in that day, there won't be these evil desires welling up within us. We won't have to fight against our own sinfulness. But right now we do. You've explained it to us in this passage. Lord, it's difficult for us to stay close to you, to walk with you throughout our days. Our minds so quickly slip off of you onto the things that are around us and the glittering things of the world and the things that we want and the things that we see. And just quickly we find ourselves off and we're walking by the flesh and we're indulging our own desires again instead of walking with you. We thank you for the forgiveness that there is in Christ. We thank you that we can just run back to you, have your embrace and your forgiveness, and then walk with you again. Will you help us this week? We fight against sin. This week we will be tempted to anger, we'll be tempted to lust, we'll be tempted to selfishness and all sorts of things. But we believe these promises, Lord, that in every moment, in every battle that will come, your Spirit will give us victory if we just cry out to you and depend upon you and follow your leading. Will you help us to do that, Lord? Be honored with the way that we depend upon your Spirit in this week. And will you give us victory over these sins that we are resisting. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.